God understood that. We weren't always on the same stanza together. Our scripture reading is from Matthew 13. I invite you to turn there with me. Matthew 13. We'll be reading in God's Word together verses 24 through 43, which is our focus this morning in Matthew 13. This comes after Jesus, he starts speaking in parables. He has the parable of the sower, which he then privately interprets and explains for his disciples. And then this parable, starting at verse 24, and parables that follow here, several. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy's done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.'" Thus far our reading from God's holy word. Indeed, may he bless his word to us. The parable of the sower, congregation, could be called the parable of the soils. The word is spread wide, but it hits different kind of soil, different kinds of hearts. And I think most of us are fairly familiar with that parable. There's hard-hearted, the word bounces off kind of hearts. It just doesn't penetrate, makes birds take the seed away. It just lays there, nothing. There's rocky soil hearts, which is almost more of a bedrock, thin soil, a bedrock underneath, so it can flourish, but doesn't take much. A little sun, a little scorching, a little parching, a little persecution, a little difficulty, a little sacrifice, and no thank you, Jesus. there is thorny soil hearts where I'm on fire for Jesus. I'm part of the big cause. But boy, life offers a lot. And before you know it, they love Jesus and making a lot of money and having a comfortable life. They love Jesus, but life has all these things that sort of get in the way. And before you know it, their faith is choked, strangled. And Jesus is pushed aside. And then there's good soil hearts that receive the word and it actually blossoms and produces fruit. That's one thing Jesus teaches us about the kingdom of God. It's like that. How is the cause of God to go forward in the world? And why are there those who receive the word and those who don't and those who seem to receive it for a while and fall away? Why is it like this? Well, Jesus said, here's why. And now he further explains what this kingdom of God is like. And I think it helps us understand the world we're trying to negotiate and live in as we would seek to serve the Lord. Using another parable, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. It's an important parable because when you say the kingdom of God is in your midst, the kingdom of God has come. Jesus commences his ministry. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. We're on the brink. My work and ministry will be evidence and manifestation of kingdom of God. And the fellow covenant people, Jewish people, his disciples had to sort of scratch their head. This is the reign of God? This? Rome still reigns. The Gentiles still oppress us. They have the power, the might, the strength, the military. They bark orders, heads roll. We live under their thumb. The kingdom of God has come? Huh? What? Really? That's it? That's what kingdom of God is? While we suffer? And so even in Jesus' day, there were Jews against Jesus. Because judgment hasn't come. The reign of God hasn't made Gentile heads roll. And besides, shouldn't I doubt this Jesus? Kingdom of God has come and nothing's changed. It's same old, same old. This parable helps us understand what it means. The kingdom of God has come. It's here. It's in our midst. It's being manifested. While Satan is alive and busy too. While there's evil weed seed flourishing as well. That the presence of the kingdom does not mean also the presence of a rival kingdom. That with kingdom of God, come! Come! Jesus the Messiah, come! He's here! He reigns! He doesn't make heads roll yet. It's a hard lesson. We're still learning it because we still want to doubt God and doubt Jesus about what this presence, discerning the presence of the kingdom really means. And the first thing this parable teaches us is when kingdom comes, it's a struggle. It's not a breeze. It's not all ease. It's not, I believe in Jesus, my hair combs in place just right. I have a wonderful smile perpetually on my face. and life is in cruise control and success there. No, it's going to be struggle. And we're going to see that with the coming of this kingdom, there's a reality of its continual coming and manifestation. And the manner in which it comes isn't on our timeline. It's not something we orchestrate. We're going to look at that, and then heads will roll. The kingdom will be triumphant, and that's for sure. There will be a harvest day. Now, it's important to realize that when the seed of the gospel is planted, right? As we noted in that other parable, there's different soils, so it meets with different things. But the seed is planted in a field, and this parable is very clear. The field is the world, not the church. Repeat, not the church. Repeat, not that there's this parable has been so misinterpreted by making the field the church. It says right there, it's the world, not the church. Jesus still tells us that. We go out into the world to cast the seed, and it meets different soils, but it's even more difficult and challenging than that because an enemy's about also planting seed, weed seed amidst the wheat seed. Weed seed. The devil isn't just passive and watches, oh, well, hopefully we'll hit a lot of hard paths and rocky soil and thorny soil. No, the devil's also busy planting seed. The enemy is not passive, but active. And so it says that the kingdom of God has become like, I mean, most translations will just say the kingdom of heaven is like, but it's literally in the Greek tongue, it's an aorist passive, if you really want to know, has become like. In other words, there's war against it. Here's kingdom of God, and now this is what it's like because an enemy is about, and it's become this contested turf in which the field of the world has gospel seed, but also weed, evil seed, planted alongside of it. And what do we discover? Well, wheat emerges, the weeds emerge, but you can't distinguish the wheat from the weeds until each is so mature that their roots are all intertwined and intertangled. That's not wheat, that's weed. You pull it, you pull up the wheat too. Should we get busy? No, says the owner. Nope. Wait till harvest day. By then, it's time to pull everything up, so to speak, to chop it all up. Then you can do the sorting, but not yet. What is the kingdom of God like? The kingdom of God is a patient reign of God that plants his people in a field of a world in which there's ungodliness and worldliness, and that which opposes him and his kingdom and cause, and even his people, there's that, and they grow together in his field, the world. It's his world, right? This reign of God is going to look like that. The kingdom of God is going to look like a field that has wheat and weeds. Growing together. At times indistinguishable, in time distinguishable. But no hasty sorting out. Let both grow together. And it's very clear then that we recognize that this kingdom of God comes in all sorts of interesting ways. Jesus, when he heals people, says the kingdom of God's in your midst. This reign. Now, by kingdom of God, we don't mean the providential rule of God. God's always the providential ruler of everything. In that sense, he's always a king. And he's king of everything. But when The Bible talks about the kingdom of God. It's talking about the restoring, the healing, the redemptive, the putting back what's broken, the mending reign of God. It's making life the way it's supposed to be. The way it pleases. See, it's not supposed, people aren't supposed to be born blind. It's not the way, it's not the will of God for a good creation. Rebels have turned aside. Now it's under curse, and now there's rival forces that would oppress. We're not supposed to be at racial disharmony, which you see in the news everywhere today. That's not the way it's supposed to be, but too often it's the way it is. We find ourselves with people having much and not much at all. It's not the way it's supposed to be. People aren't supposed to be crippled, and they're not supposed to be under the Roman boot, but they were. See? And they're not supposed to be estranged from God and rebels. But where the kingdom of God comes, they're reconciled to God. And they're in fellowship with Him. Kingdom of God comes and blind people are seeing. Crippled people are walking. See? The wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile. Kingdom of God comes and it breaks down this wall of hostility. The reign of God, the way it's supposed to be. That's what Jesus means by kingdom of God. And so many of his contemporaries heard in that phrase, kingdom of God. All right. Well, that means the Romans' heads rule. We'll finally get a new David. We'll finally get a warrior king. We'll finally get someone who, you know, like the Zealots. Peter had been part of that little revolutionary sect, the Zealots. Yeah, we'll get our army and we'll throw off the... And then that's kingdom of God. And Jesus says that's not kingdom of God. Church. The kingdom of God doesn't mean we rule, we reign, we get our way, and everyone listens to us. It means that we're wheat in a field with weeds. And both are here. Both are under God's patient care. But a harvest will come. No hasty pulling up the weeds, lest you pull up the wheat. In fact, if you get too hasty, there's some people, no doubt, even in this church, certainly maybe in some of your family history or friends you know, it took them a long time to show themselves and be really wheat, because they lived like weeds a long, long time. Well, pull him up, be done. God, judge the nations. Let the hammer fall on you, on them. God will patiently work His grace in, you know, He'll chase after the lost sheep. No, let the head roll. No, He's going to bring him back. If you don't get that, you don't get grace. I mean, you just don't get it. You don't get the gospel. That woman at the well, be done. That prodigal son, let him be one. You know, good riddance. I'm not looking down the path whether he'll ever come home. I'm done. That's not the gospel. Plus, it's very arrogant to think that you couldn't be the straying child of God at some point. This field of the world has those who are emerging as wheat, those emerging as weeds, and you can't early on tell. The sorting, by the time you start to sort it out, it's too intertangled. How do you cleanse a nation of its righteous and its unrighteous without wounding the righteous? And so the kingdom of God is like that, friends. Kingdom of God is like that. it's not yet the way it's supposed to be, but where the reign of God comes, you start seeing glimmers and glimpses of the way it's supposed to be. Blind eyes seeing, crippled legs walking, unbelieving hearts believing, poor people without hope having the hope of the good news of salvation, oppressed people looking to God in faith for help. Church getting their eyes off the world and everything money can buy and onto God as our only comfort in life and in death. If COVID-19 has done anything, it should awaken us to at least this, at least this. If this virus is finally nothing like promoted, you think God in his judgment couldn't send one 50 times worse? I mean, does half the population have to die for the church actually to be humble? Do we really want to say, I just want it back to normal? Just back to normal. Back to the sinful habits of heart as always. Really? Shouldn't we be those who actually see life is short and it's not to be lived to chase idols? What is the kingdom of God like? It's like people living weed lives chasing idols next to people trying to live for God. That's what it's like. It's a struggle. There's opposition. There's hostility. There's brokenness. There's sorrow. The kingdom comes and Satan is still active. The kingdom of God comes and it's still a struggle to nurture your children in the faith. You still need grace. You still need God's care. The kingdom of God's in your midst, perceiving its very presence amidst evil. Not always winning easily. Kingdom of God isn't like that. Jesus is teaching us that very thing. Nope. Don't expect that. Jesus has come and evil remains. Jesus has come and it's still a battle. Jesus is risen from the dead and you still need his Holy Spirit and his word to lead and guide you and fortify you ever and anew. The kingdom of God comes and you'll face some of your most difficult days as you near your aged years and you're slow of mind and body and ravaged by disease. Some of the hardest years are the last years. Some of the biggest temptations are at the end of your life. Kingdom of God comes and you need grace and his help and strength to the end. It's amidst struggle. Kingdom of God comes, church, he had to say to his disciples, and Rome is going to be here for a while, and after Rome, it will be other versions of it. And don't we see that? We're always hand-wringing. Oh, if it was only like it was in the 50s, except in the 50s, they were hand-wringing that it wasn't like it was in the 20s, and in the 20s, they were hand-wringing like it. We're always hand-wringing, because it's always a struggle. Now, this coming of the kingdom is also a surprise, and Jesus uses two parables to help us see that. He put this parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed a man took, sowed in the field, smallest of seeds, it grows larger, becomes this tree, birds of the air nest, and then the leaven. The kingdom is a reality, but the way it comes is a yawner. The other day, about a month or two ago, I look in my window well, and there's a little maple sapling that's grown up in my window well. Wow. Well, I don't need that there, and I yank it up. And then as I'm holding it, I literally think, actually, I have a place where I wouldn't mind seeing a maple tree grow. Oh, I should have dug it up. Oh, well, so I took it, I dug a hole, and I says, maybe I can, you know, help my poor little water, you know, I baby this thing. Well, so far it's surviving. It lost its first leaves, but a bunch of new ones emerged. But this I know, should that little maple sapling make it, he's only like this high, I won't live long enough to see this become a big, powerful, awesome, beautiful in autumn maple tree. It will slowly start little. It will take a lot of time and patience and care for it to become something big and impressive. The kingdom of God is like that. That's the whole mustard seed thing. Starts puny, looks puny, is puny. Becomes a little plant, puny. Becomes a bush, puny, unimpressive. So what? So is kingdom of God. But over time, it's a tree and the birds of the air nest in. Over time, it becomes something triumphant. Slow but sure. Now, what we want is always the impressive. We want, you know, the big crusade. We want Pentecost every day. We want, you know, every preacher wants, every seminarian, fresh from seminary, finally, I'm going to preach the sermons that need to be preached in the church because all those old guys don't have the courage to do the right thing. So, you know, they start preaching up all, you know, and the people are like, is that all you got? You know, sub parishioners are like skilled boxers, you know. You can't lay a glove on me, preacher, you know, like, You can't lay a glove on me, no way. But I've heard the best of them. But the Holy Spirit lays the glove of the Word on us. Over time, slow but sure. It's a struggle, and the way it comes is this slow but sure. You know, a small little huddle of disciples. Puny. Suddenly something impressive happens, but still, even with Pentecost, puny, nothing. Jesus with his little fisherman disciples, ooh, I'm scared, says the devil. Ooh, wow. Unimpressive, slow but sure. And eventually, the center of Satan's empire, Rome, becomes the center of Christendom, to reach out further into the world. Slow but sure. Little seed, something. Little maple tree, maybe someday big, big, awesome maple tree. Same with the leaven. Shows you kind of the manner of its happening. There's something mysterious. And I've used this illustration before, and you maybe heard it, but I like using it, so you have to bear with it again. You know, make bread, homemade bread sometime. Grandma, have the grandkids over, and we're going to make homemade bread. And give a little job to each grandchild. But make sure the one who's about 4 years old, his job or her job is to watch the dough rise. You know, just put a little chair there in front of the bowl. Now you watch that dough rise. You know, you tell Grandma and report on its rising. What? You know how long that would last. You could see this poor four-year-old, you know, laying on his chair, staring at the sky. You know, Grandma, this is, nothing's happening. Oh, this is boring. Just keep watching. Can I go play? Yeah, go ahead. Kingdom of God is like leaven working its way through dough. The point is it does something mysterious over time. It does happen. Something's happening. But it's usually kind of imperceptible. Slow but sure. I want to see action. But have you ever thought how God works in a lot of human hearts? Yes, there's those who are converted on the spot in a radical, stupendous way. Paul certainly was someone who God turned around dramatically. But even Paul was someone who was kicking against the pricks, remember? Oh, so something was, he's resisting a testimony, right? For many of us, we've needed God's patient grace in our lives. We've needed God to forgive the sins of our youth. We've needed to have regrets. We've needed to grow up to see, boy, I was an arrogant know-it-all back then. Boy, I was blind to certain... Boy, I never realized how selfish I've been in my marriage. We need God's steady, caring grace, His reign in our hearts, because the kingdom is also within you, the reign, redemptive reign of God in you that then spills out. But you're a work in progress, I'm a work in progress, and sometimes the sanctifying grace of God in our lives is slow, imperceptible, like yeast waking, making leaven through the dough. Slow, but it is happening. And that can happen in the life of the church, and the whole reign of God is like that. It's not something that you can always point to, looky, looky, and yet it does manifest itself and show itself with fruits. Now, Jesus then teaches us to perceive the kingdom of God in this way. He teaches us that the way this leaven works, the way this tree grows, is such that some of us for a time were hard people, or we had a kind of a rocky soil faith or thorny soil faith, but in His patient working grace, He made us and changed our hearts into good soil. God does that. We know that some people, even covenant children, can walk astray from the faith, and yet we're like the father in the parable with our eyes cast looking for that silhouette of the lost child to come home. And I know a woman, because it was my sister, she was 60 years old before she came home. You know, I was more like an elder brother. Ugh. It was my mother who was the patient, loving father, looking for her to come home. And by God's grace, she did. You see, the kingdom of heaven is a leavening of dough, slow but sure, but sure. That's what we need to understand about this, discerning this kingdom and its coming. And then, we're also given the wonderful message of its victory. Now, it would be nice if the kingdom of God wasn't like dough. It was like some little high school chemistry experiment where, you know, you add this chemical, that, and whoosh, you know. I suppose teachers love to do that one to try to get them interested in chemistry. But then there's all these formulas they got to memorize. And like, whatever. That part was interesting, at least. We would love it if we could have jack-in-the-box Christians. Pop goes the Christian. There, you know, just do this and this and this and this and this. Pop goes the Christian. It's not like that. It takes prayerful living amidst an evil world, wheat amongst weeds, slow but patient grace. Heads will roll and it will all be sorted out at harvest. That's the triumph. That's the triumph. It's interesting that this virus that has affected our world and our economy and our lives and my winter vacation. Many others, you know, I'm not pointing fingers, it's me too. Like, you took my fun away and all this kind of stuff. All my summer routines blasted away. But what reign of God do I really care about? Or what reign of anything do I really care about? If life unravels, and any of you old enough to remember the Second World War, not too many anymore, but life had unraveled. You know, it wasn't going to be same as usual, guys. Well, with the coming of the kingdom of God, we're not to get too comfortable and cozy and expect the same as usual. Because a harvest awaits. Jesus explains this whole parable. The field is the world. The Son of Man sows the seed of the gospel. And he does that through his servants. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed it is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are angels. The weeds are gathered and burned. And the Son of Man will send his angels to do this. Notice he says he will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. The one is neuter. Things, sinful things, sinful habits, sinful structures, sinful laws, sinful ideologies, sinful patterns, sinful moralities, sinful, stupid speeches, you know, anything sinful is gathered, packaged, burned, judged, and the doers of evil. What is the end of the story, or I may say the rest of the story? The old Paul Harvey, some of you remember him, you know, and you get a little tidbit, and now the rest of the story. Remember him? Well, here's the rest of the story. Christ wins. No one gets away with anything. All evil's exposed. There is a sorting out. There is a separation. There is a reaping after the sowing, a harvest day, and there is a bundling and casting into the flame. All causes, all evil breakers are gathered and thrown into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You want to know what the kingdom of God is like? It's heading there. The rain, the healing rain of God is taking us to that day, that victory, that hope. It's taking us. So, you know, a virus afflicting the world is a little siren in our ears. It's not the only siren. A nation constantly at war and battling all the time is a little siren, not the way it's supposed to be. Terrible diseases ravaging our bodies, not the way it's supposed to be. Broken marriages, not the way it's supposed to be. Unwanted children, aborted babies, not the way it's supposed to be. All these things are little sirens in our ears telling us we need kingdom come. We need the reign of Christ here. We need the healing, redemptive, saving, putting it back the way it's supposed to be, and even more reign of God going forward. And so we need to have ears to hear, which is very different than I just want to go back to normal. Right now, the kingdom's incomplete. Right now, the kingdom's provisional. Right now, the kingdom is there amidst wheat with weeds. Right now, it's a struggle. Right now, it's grace, grace, Lord, I need more grace. Help, help, send your Spirit. Fill me with your Word. Give me wisdom. Make me strong. Keep me Oh, it's the whole Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. It's contested now. There's an enemy opposing now. But in the midst of all of that, how are we going to live our lives? Negative? We're losing. Slumped shouldered. I'm a Christian. The sovereign Lord of heaven and earth reigns. His kingdom is coming. And I'm not getting my way the way I want it. So, well, that's only because you're not getting the idols you want. If I'm not my own, remember that one? I've been bought at a price. I'm not my own. Comfort in life and in death doesn't mean, oh, I control and rule my life and it's what I want and do. And I'm not my own. I'm His. To be expended for Him. To offer myself for Him. To live for His kingdom and His glory. And so I live in faithfulness, in love, not in hostility, not in hatred, in loving grace and patience, because He's the loving, patient God to me, who's gracious to me. Knowing harvest awaits, this grace in the face of the old is not yet gone. Kingdom come. Continue to pray for its fuller coming, its final consummated coming, its final in which all evil is vanquished coming. And we can hold our heads up amidst that, in the midst of struggle and disappointment and failure and disease and injury and is the world coming unraveled? It feels that way at times. The things you see and hear, like, are people gone nuts? Well, what do you expect? Jesus said, that's what you should expect. Till harvest. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. What is the end for us all as believers in Jesus Christ? That where He is, we may be also. That we may be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. That we would put off all the sin that cleaves to us, all that's in our own hearts we war against and grieve over. That even the hatred toward other people that the devil wants to nurse in us. And we'll continue to repent and believe and ask His grace and presence and continue to say, Lord, Your kingdom come. Knowing as Jesus reigns and rules and shines like the sun in all its brilliance, we're His sons of righteousness, shining like sun, like stars in the glory He gives. That's hopeful. Jesus reigns, Jesus wins. Small, puny, it's not yet the way it's supposed to be, but one day it will be. All to His praise. Amen. Our gracious God, fill our hearts with longing for Your kingdom come. Fill our hearts with desire to serve You in obedience and in patient faithfulness, and keep us from all harm and sinfulness. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.